everybody. It's the Bucket Cast, hosted by yours truly, BucketReviews.com, film critic and podcaster, yes, podcaster, Danny Baldwin. It's Friday, and you know what that means. Reed Ackerman's here at Subman.
Yes, Reed Ackerman, Malin Ackerman's little brother.
Yeah, but minus the C, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Got some problems with the name spelling. Anyway, you might be wondering why I am on this podcast right now, seemingly in two places at once, in San Diego and in L.A. That's because this
is a little... You travel time.
Yes, I travel time, exactly. This is a little something we know in the biz as pre-recording.
Oh.
So this is brought to you on Tuesday. But
podcast magic.
Just like a late show would be recorded in the afternoon and then aired in the middle of the night, we're recording on... It's Wednesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Tuesday.
We've seen...
It's Tuesday. See, time is just... infinite to me.
Absolutely.
So
you're like Dr. Manhattan when it comes to podcasting.
Yeah. So it's Friday for all purposes, and Reed, you know, Reed, there are some movies coming out today.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Wink, wink. Yeah. What are they?
Actually, we've seen one of them.
Oh, yeah, we have.
But we'll get to that later. First up, we got The Year One, and even though on Friday I'll actually have already seen this by noon, but anyway... Let's pretend I haven't seen it and I'm just going in blind because my review won't run until Friday night anyway. It's The Year One, directed by Harold Ramis, starring Michael Cera and Jack Black. Reed, you got thoughts on this one?
I think it looks really, really funny. I'm excited for this movie. I like Michael Cera. I love Jack Black. I'm very excited. I can't wait for it.
You think it will do well? Because will the teenagers be able to respond to this very Ramis brand of comedy? It's not exactly your most mainstream comedy out
there. No, but it's got Michael Cera and Jack Black, which are two really
big
pulls.
Again, you got Jack Black in, like, the Tenacious D movie doing what Jack Black does best. It bombed.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's rated R, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Year One.
This one was almost rated R, and they had to tone it down to PG-13.
Yeah, but the contract said PG-13. So what are you predicting for box? Do you think it'll do $20 million, or you think it can get up to the 30s?
It might get up. I think it'd get up to. It's going to get up to the 30s.
Strangely enough, I don't know what my pick is, even though my pick will air before this episode. It's just a time conundrum, isn't it? I think that this will do well, though, and I'm hoping that it's good.
Yeah, me too.
Now, let's get into the movie we have seen. We have seen The Proposal, starring Sandra Bullock and Reed's favorite man crush, Ryan Reynolds.
A.K.A. Wade Wilson Deadpool.
Yeah, you have to mention the X-Men name just to defend yourself, right? So, Reed, did you have thoughts on this movie?
It was very generic, but very, very funny.
I thought it was funny. I'm surprised. The early reviews coming in from the sneaks were surprisingly negative.
Really?
And, you know, I thought that even though this moves through the motions and moves through the formula
Absolutely.
Completely, it perfects it. I mean, you can only do so well within this formula. And, you know, I think making an okay movie is about the best you can do with it.
You have to go in with the thoughts of the generic plot and...
You know, Ryan Reynolds is actually pretty good, showing himself to be a serviceable leading man, which I really didn't think, you know?
Yeah, he didn't have that big of a role in X-Men.
I don't think he's very good in general. I mean, let's look at his previous movies. He's made one...
Well, I know how much you love Van Wilder.
He's made one of the worst movies of all time in National Lampoon's Van Wilder, and he's given perhaps one of the most hilariously bad performances of all time in Blade Trinity, right? But you seem to like him. Reed... You cannot hear this over the audio, but Reed is shaking his head as if Blade Trinity is actually what we should be seeing as, great,
Horror,
great
the,
art.
Amityville Horror.
Catch that one.
The bearded Ryan Reynolds. You haven't seen it?
I've seen the original.
Oh, the remake's not bad.
Really?
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, well, those movies aren't very interesting, but Reed and I are going to do kind of a feature today in which we survey... all the kind of underdogs coming out over the summer, the movies that we're not sure if they'll do well at the box office or play well with audiences.
If you go to JoeBlow.com, there are three burger movies. They could either go very good or very crappy.
Do they still do that on JoeBlow?
Yeah, I rate them by burgers.
I quit reading JoeBlow after old Burge stopped writing himself.
Oh, yeah?
So... perhaps the first... See, I hope you're getting the phone effect.
The full authentic Subman experience.
Hopefully we don't sound like we're broadcasting from a jet engine again like we did last time.
Hey, it comes with the territory.
Yeah. That was a refrigerator, people. It might not have sounded like it, but maybe you're hearing it right now, too. But anyway, first that's kind of up in the air is a Michael Mann movie starring Christian Bale and Johnny Depp and Marion Cotillard, Public Enemies. Reed, are you excited for this one?
Yeah, Christian Bale, Johnny Depp. How can you not be excited?
Well, I'm not excited.
Really?
I mean, if you look at this very Michael Mann brand of this juxtaposition between this very modern, avant-garde camera work, just to be new agey with the period material, it just doesn't flow to me. It didn't float in Miami Vice, and this looks like Miami Vice, except in olden times.
The trailer didn't impress me that much, but I'm hoping Bale and...
Not to mention, test screenings are terrible on this one.
Are they?
Yeah, and it's 3 hours long. I'm really not looking forward to it, and I'm going to go as far as to say this may have a big opening weekend, may even open to $40 million.
Yeah, I think it'll have a pretty big opening weekend.
But I don't think it's going to do well in the long run. You seem to think otherwise. You think it can pull through?
Like we were saying, it can go either way, very good or very crappy.
But Reed, you're supposed to take a position here. That's the point of the episode.
I'm excited for it.
You're excited for it, so you're optimistic. Okay.
I'm always optimistic.
Next up is I Love You, Beth Cooper, which I don't think would be anything but a slam dunk for box office biz and bringing in the teenagers if it weren't for the fact that it goes up against Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Bruno's rated R.
Yeah, that's... I was just going to say
so, that. Yes, there's the potential that the teenagers go this way, but I think they'll find their way into Bruno.
I think they'll buy a ticket
perhaps
for
buying a ticket for this.
Exactly.
And then going to Bruno. It would be inauspicious. But even though I don't think it will be a very good movie, Chris Columbus has made some terrible, terrible movies.
Christmas with the Cranks.
He's also made some Four Bucket movies. Harry Potter.
And The Sorcerer's Stone, the other one he directed, was okay.
Was it 3.5?
Yeah, but I've come to not like Chamber of Secrets that much.
Yeah.
But I think that for as far as teen comedies go, the marketing on this one is smart. The trailer's well put together. It uses Hayden Panettiere as a pretty good selling point. But can it
especially when she drops her towel?
Can it overcome Bruno, Reed?
I don't think so, no.
You don't think so?
Well, I think, like you were saying earlier, I think the teenagers will buy a ticket for this and go into Bruno, but I don't think that's enough to beat Bruno.
But that's box office, yeah. But it won't beat Bruno, but can it make $20 million opening weekend?
Yeah, it can make. I think it'll make $20 million.
Reed says yes on the $20 million. I'm not so sure, but could this be the rare teen comedy that has legs and that people go back to it after Bruno?
That's how Superbad was.
It's very possible.
But Superbad was R, too, though.
Yeah, but Superbad was well-reviewed, so you could have had adults going in the later
weekend.
Well,
they had any test screenings for I Love You, Beth Cooper yet?
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't think it'll be good. I mean, this type of thing rarely
is.
It's
generic teen comedy.
PG-13,
then again, Adventureland was marketed as a...
But that's R, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Greg Mottola. That had everything going for it. Yeah. This has almost nothing going for it. It looks like a raunchy sitcom.
Pretty generic.
But PG-13, nonetheless, so it can't be too raunchy. So I'm saying Beth Cooper flops. I'm going to go out on a limb.
I think it'll $20 million it.
Well, that's pretty good. You know what? I'm reversing my earlier position. I certainly invested in it in the early days on Hollywood Stock Exchange. I don't think this movie's going to do well now that I think about it. I think they're all going to go to Bruno, and Bruno is going to be the juggernaut. And speaking of Bruno, I have decided... I said, kind of as a joke on Twitter, that I would dress up as Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno character in a Velcro suit or, like, I don't know, tight latex or something, to the midnight. I've decided that if I can get 100 ratings, verifiable ratings, on iTunes, and 25 written reviews, I will dress up as Bruno and post pictures online.
I will be the photographer in that.
And I'm hoping you'll get some people to rate the show. That's their incentive.
Yeah, I will.
I'm sure people who don't even know me will want to do this because it will be an absurd, absurd sight. Next up is Harry Potter. And, of course, this is a tentpole. But we're talking about it as kind of a question mark for one reason. Last week it was announced that the IMAX release of the film would be delayed by 2 weeks, which is really interesting. It was delayed by 2 weeks because Transformers was guaranteed 4 weeks in IMAX based on the criteria that certain scenes were shot in the IMAX format. So IMAX guaranteed it 4 weeks. Harry Potter stuck with its release date, with all the PR set up to launch it on that date, had to move just the IMAX release back. So, Reed, here are my questions for you. Is anybody going to wait 2 weeks just to see this in IMAX.
I think so.
Especially with the 3D feature.
I think so.
You think so?
I do.
They're just going to block it out.
Let's put it this way. I'm a really, really big Watchmen fan, and if Watchmen had come out in the regular theater and IMAX 2 weeks later...
You wouldn't have seen it until IMAX?
I would have waited until IMAX.
Really?
Yes.
Even though that was it... These are DMR releases, so they're just digitally DRM releases, so they're just digitally remastered.
But with IMAX, you get the experience with it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you think some people will wait? Harry Potter fans.
I think more so diehard Harry Potter fans will wait because they want to see it in the optimum setting.
But is 3D really the native format?
No, I don't think I don't think it's about the 3D. I think it's more about the IMAX.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with all these fake IMAXs around and all the controversy and not support.
Well, a lot of people don't know about the fake IMAX. A lot of people just see IMAX and they go and see it.
Okay, so secondly then, do you think that people who don't like the movie, maybe okay on the movie, but are amped about it, were disappointed, will go back in IMAX then just to see the 3D and just to experience again? No.
No, I don't.
So you're saying that it won't retain repeat viewers if they don't like it?
No.
Okay. So you're not going to get that $4, $5 fee on certain people that would have gone to IMAX in the first place and then were disappointed. But you think that the diehard fans will go back and see it again in IMAX or wait? You think they'll wait?
I think they'll wait.
Now, that will do something interesting for the box
office.
Well,
it depends on if they go to the midnight or not.
I don't think we've ever seen this before.
No.
So you're saying that the midnight is the only thing that competes with IMAX because of the communal environment?
Yeah, because of the environment.
They'll want to show off their broom?
Yeah, pretty much.
Does Harry Potter ever use a broom? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Quidditch match, yeah.
Duh, he uses the Quidditch.
I always go in the Harry Potter premieres. I always go.
Harry Potter is
just... My friend Lauren's a big Harry Potter fan, so I would go with her to the midnights, and I wear my Jedi robe. It's universal. It looks like a Harry Potter robe. It looks like a Jedi robe.
How long
like
do we have to... Harry Potter is so sixth grade, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, how long do we have to stretch?
And you've seen the trailers for the new one, right?
Yep.
It's weird. It's PG, but the trailers are looking very dark.
It's MPAA bias. I think the last one was PG-13, though,
The last two have been PG-13.
I think that David Yates is going in a terrible direction.
As do I.
I really loved Mike Newell's Goblet of Fire, and I think he did so many good things with it, but then Yates came around and ruined it. Why did they hire the guy?
I don't know. And they signed him on for the rest of them. I wanted to see Guillermo del Toro do it, but that's not happening.
He's booked solid until 2019. Yeah. How many more times do I have to tell you that when you tell me
this
that you want Guillermo del Toro to direct a movie?
This is back in the day when he wasn't doing Dr.
Well,
Jekyll,
then he was
Mr.
booked
Hyde
through 2014. Daniel Radcliffe would be an old man. Guillermo del Toro is going to be booked through the time he's 200, I fear.
Absolutely.
So that'll be an interesting thing to keep a lookout for and see how it affects the box office of Harry Potter. But I think we can all agree that the box office will be mammoth. The big question is, will it beat Transformers?
No.
No, really?
Maybe.
These movies don't have a tendency to open that highly, actually, if you go looking back. I think Transformers will have a killer opening, and you should definitely stay tuned for the growing and growing. We now have 16 pages of script and questions that Reed is yet to see on this whole Transformers extravaganza next Tuesday. So wait for that. That will be the...
I also got the day off work. I switched shifts with Ryan's little brother. Ryan, who's notably absent today. I work with his little brother. I switched shifts with him so I could go.
Perhaps the only time we'll do a video bucket cast. Anyway, after Harry Potter, we got a movie that Reed and I hadn't heard of until 10 minutes ago when we were looking at the schedule, but now I think we're amped?
Yeah.
All Good Things, starring Ryan Gosling, Kirsten Dunst, Frank Langella, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, directed by Capturing the Freedmen's director, Andrew Jarecki. How did we not know about this movie?
I don't know, but I didn't know about The Lovely Bones until, 3 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but that's out in December. You shouldn't know about this. Where is the... I think it's a Weinstein release, so maybe it is not set in stone as the other Weinstein release.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
It's possible because, Danzig was pushed back. Weinstein's having all kinds of trouble, especially with The Road pushed back an entire year. They're having all kinds of trouble over there, so I wouldn't stick to this July release date. But if it is, I'm totally psyched. We got IMDb's plot synopsis saying... A detective begins to unravel a missing persons case that looks to spell doom and quite possibly death for the heir to a New York real estate dynasty. I'm assuming that Kirsten Dunst is the heir, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, she would be an heiress. So therefore,
Ryan Gosling.
Did you just pronounce his name Gosling?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I'm going to call him that straight to his face, too.
Well, aside from that, I hope he appears at Comic-Con so you can do that.
I hope he's cast as the Green Lantern.
All right. Well, we'll be looking out for that one, even if it's a delayed release. I can't see why this is a summer movie. Shouldn't this be Oscar bait?
Yeah, certainly. Unless it was like...
What is going on at Weinstein? I need to call them up. Funny People is after that, and Funny People you would think to be a surefire bet with Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen starring and directed by Judd Apatow, who has never really had a failure as a director, even though he's certainly had his fair share of troubled times as a producer.
The only thing that I haven't liked with him on it, with his name on it, is Talladega Nights. That's really the only thing I haven't liked that he
produced. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one. What about Drillbit Taylor?
I didn't see Drillbit Taylor.
Bad movie.
Really?
Walk Hard was bad. And
Walk Hard was okay.
He's had his fair share of bad producing credits. But as a director, he's really, two for two. But I don't expect this to break the streak. It's about stand-up comedians, a very personal topic.
Definitely
for
looks
Apatow.
Different than...
But here's the kicker. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
That's long.
I mean, Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin with the director's cuts were over 2 hours.
Yeah,
but
the director's cut of 40-Year-Old Virgin felt really long to me.
Can you picture the standard Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen crowd sitting in a movie that takes its time for 2 hours and 40 minutes? I just don't picture that having good word of mouth.
They will, but I don't think they'll like it.
I know, and this is the trouble. I think but Apatow movies don't have a history of opening that well. I mean,
didn't Knocked Up open really well?
$30 million, but they really do well based on their legs. They able to stick around because they're such good movies.
Yeah. I remember at one point Knocked Up was even considered for like Oscar running.
Yeah, and I think that Katherine Heigl gave one of the five best performances of that year. And certainly it should have been nominated for screenplay, but you know, there's a bias against comedies. But anyway, I think that this is going to be a really good movie, but can that Sandler crowd sit for 2 hours and 40 minutes? I don't believe they can. And can it expand past the target audience with Sandler there? You know, how many older folks are going? I guess they went to see Superbad with those numbers, but how many are going to go sit through an Adam Sandler movie? I don't know.
Adam Sandler doesn't have like the best track record as of right now.
Then again, they sit through a Seth Rogen movie. I mean, they sat through Knocked Up.
Yeah, this Knocked Up was an hour, 2 hours and 40 minutes, though.
Well, yeah, but some adults are willing to sit for that. And
it's
going
to have to be really engaging.
I'm willing to give Apatow any chance he wants because he's got a perfect record in the director's chair, at least. And these movies that are personal for him really work well.
Uh-huh.
Next up is a movie that Reed's, I guess, interested in. I wouldn't say awaiting. I don't know. G.I. Joe, which is an August release, seems doomed. This is a big budget movie. Variety just came out with an article saying Stephen Sommers was not fired from the movie.
No.
That was a big rumor floating around.
There was also that rumor that Lexi Alexander was fired from Punisher Warzone when that was going on.
Well,
we see how well that movie turned out.
But this is a big budget movie with some pretty big stuff. I mean, Dennis Quaid
and Ray Park.
He's not quite B-list yet, is he? He's still on the A-list,
he's still
right?
Bottom A-list. A-minus list.
Well, okay. So, do you think it's going to do well, or do you think this is a doomed August release by all standards?
I think it's a doomed August release by all standards. The new trailer just confirmed that for me.
So no big opening or anything like
that?
This will
be no midnight for me. This will be a 550. I might even wait the weekend, pay the 550.
550, of course, referring to local theater chain UltraStar's policy on Thursdays or your coupons. But don't go to UltraStar because, of course, they screwed up the aspect ratio of the presentation on Imagine That on Friday night at the Del Mar Highlands location. Yeah. What is up with these people? These digital projectors, nobody can seem to get the aspect. There are only two choices, people. There's scope and flat, and you can't seem to get it right. In fact, when we saw Land of the Lost, they presented a flat movie in scope at Krikorian.
The Krikorian, yeah.
These theater chains are driving me nuts, and this digital projection is driving me crazy because no one can seem to operate it correctly.
Has your review Land of the Lost gone up?
I actually just did it on, this would be the Monday show of the Bucket Cast. I did an audio review of it to catch up. So I did six. So you guys better check out that. That'll be 4 days ago when this airs. So, you know,
Oh, okay. So it's already out right now.
It's already out. It's been out for 4 days.
I'm on the backtrack of BucketCast. Every day it's hard. It's hard.
Yes, to our own guests don't even listen to the show. Anyway, next up is The Time Traveler's Wife, starring Rachel McAdams and Eric Bana. This is mid-August, I guess. And I'm surprised. I did not think this would be a good movie, but the trailer just came out. And
I just watched it on my iPhone.
It looks like a chick flick that us guys will be interested in. I don't know why this summer seems to be the summer of time travel, but between Land of the Lost and Star Trek
and Terminator,
we've had three time travel movies thus far. I don't know what other movie is going to be masquerading as a time travel movie, but here's a surefire time travel one. But this one actually looked pretty good. Looks to use the time travel gimmick pretty well, you think?
They're using the sci-fi. They're balancing the sci-fi and romanticism really well together.
It seems like they're really using the gimmick of time travel here to make what's otherwise a conventional romantic movie, just like The Proposal, into something more and add some heft to it. No?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you gotta love Rachel McAdams, right?
Who doesn't?
Who does not love
Wedding
that
Crashers,
Rachel McAdams? Hey, did you ever see State of Play?
No.
I'm hoping that comes out
Russell Crowe movie, right?
Yeah, with Rachel McAdams in it. That's my segue. I'm hoping that comes to Blu-ray soon because it's such a good movie and it got so ignored.
It really did.
Adult political fare just doesn't play well at the multiplex anymore, but that's a shame, and it's one of Ben Affleck's rare good performances.
I didn't even know he's in it.
It was really unbelievable, and I really recommend that. Kevin MacDonald, who did Last King of Scotland, great movie. Next up, see, what is this? I need to get a new transition. Next up. I needed the dates, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is August 21st. You're awaiting it. Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds comes out, finally. I don't know why. I think Tarantino intentionally does this to us, so we have to await him forever.
He writes them and then stocks them up forever.
He just builds and builds. Inglourious Basterds got okay reviews out of Cannes, mixed reviews at best.
Yeah,
what did you read?
I read that just mixed, that a lot of people were saying it was not there wasn't enough as much action as they thought it was going to be.
Interesting speculation.
Typical Tarantino stuff.
Yeah, interesting speculation is that, well, not more than speculation. Interesting fact is that the studio actually asked Tarantino to add scenes to this movie.
Really?
It was 2 hours, I believe it was 2 hours and 32 minutes sitting there, and he's only contractually obligated to deliver a 3-hour movie because, hey, he's Quentin Tarantino. So they've actually asked him to add some missing scenes. Everybody said Quentin Tarantino has to go back to the editing room floor, but it's only to add scenes. So that'll be interesting and see if that helps the flow of the movie a little bit, which is one of the main things that people are commenting on, but I hear it's really bizarre, just as
that's
a Tarantino movie usually is. Ebert refused to really talk about the movie until its opening. He was writing Cannes coverage of
everything. Did he say if he liked it or not?
Well, I'm assuming he didn't like it because he's given all the other Tarantinos 4 stars and been quick to blab about those.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll like this one better than the rest, you know. Rewatching Kill Bill recently to kind of commemorate the David Carradine loss, it's okay. Certainly stylistically well done and certainly has a ring to the ears, but if a Tarantino script was an essay, we would instantly critique it for its lack of substance, and even though we applaud its style, we'd say it was a mess of adjectives. And, you know, it sounds good. Great, great dialogue writer, but you know, I think he's overrated, and people will kill me for that, but I really do think he's overrated.
I like his stuff. I love Pulp Fiction. I have a giant Pulp Fiction poster above my bed.
So. I like it, but I've certainly got to catch True Romance, which he didn't direct.
I've seen it. It's good.
On Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray just came out.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's coming out next week, but that should be a good one. Reed's phone is ringing. He has a speed racer. Go, Speed Racer. Go. See, this is how the BucketCast works. Oh, Reed's so professional, turning off the phone. You should have answered it.
I turned on vibrate.
Well, anyway. Then the last movie I really want to talk about is a movie I saw in the trailers for Up in 3D. It's only going to have a 1 week run in 3D, I'm assuming, because the next weekend, the Final Destination 3D movie comes out. But it's called X Games 3D the Movie, and we were talking about how 3D should really be used as an event in our first podcast from Subman. And this, to me, seems to fit that description. It's basically just X Games footage, But they've really done a good job shooting in 3D and used the new technology from what I've seen in the trailer. And it really looks good. Projections are not that high. I don't know if the theater count is going to be somewhat limited.
Well, the real question is it going to do better than Jonas Brothers in 3D?
Well, Jonas Brothers flopped. But yeah, a flop for the Jonas Brothers still is a $20 million opening, right?
That's true.
Or $20 million total, somewhere
about that.
I thought
they'd get more for that.
And actually, Michael and I on the retrospectives will do our own little rebellious retrospective to rebel against the Blu-ray release of the Jonas Brothers 3D Blu-ray release.
Oh,
so,
my.
That should be a good one.
No, I'm waiting in anticipation for that
We're
one.
We're going to take it old school on you. Also, just to let Reed talk about it a little bit, coming out the week after the X Games 3D movie, which I'm hoping you all see, because this could actually be the new technology used, right? Halloween 2, Rob Zombie.
Oh, yes. If you listen to Geekgasm podcast, or if you know me, Halloween was my least favorite movie. It came out in 06, right?
Yeah.
No,
07.
It's my least favorite movie of 07. Hated it. The original is one of my favorites.
You're somehow excited for this.
I'm not excited for it, but I feel obligated that me, Danny, and so far we got Blaine and Ryan will be
Blaine and Ryan, who you know from the first episode of the Subby podcast. Hopefully they will come out of the woodwork and join us again.
It comes out on a Friday. We can see it on Thursday night. Come back here Friday.
Hey, maybe we'll even podcast from the line.
Oh, who knows? Oh, my. Yeah, but we will be attending the midnight of H2, The Devil Walks Among Us.
Or is that really what it's called?
I saw something like that called it. I don't know if they
I think it's just H2.
I don't know if they're still
using it.
That'd be a
great subtitle.
Like, yeah, I saw some news a while ago. It was like, The Devil Walks Among Us. I was like, oh, God.
But more important, do you think this is going to haul in the... I thought it was interesting that this will literally be competing against Final Destination 3D, which seems to be playing to the same crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
This almost seems like Rob Zombie... I know Rob Zombie isn't the one writing the release schedule, but doesn't it seem like his rebellion against the traditional horror marketing, and that he wants this to be treated as some gritty, offensive masterpiece? And
he Final writes all characters like white trash.
Final Destination is just cartoonish, and so there's no similarity between our audiences. Doesn't it feel like
exactly,
that's what he's trying
yeah.
to say with it? I think it's going to... Given the choice, I'd probably go to the Final Destination movie. Although...
I'll probably see that one, too, because...
Well, I don't like either franchise, of course. You know I gave Halloween...
Zero Buckets,
the remake, of course. Not to Carpenter
Not the
version.
Brilliance John
That would be an insult. But I don't think this is going to do well poised against the Final Destination movie.
No, Halloween did well. I remember it doing really
well. Yeah, it did surprisingly well for such a brutal R-rated movie. And, you know, I just don't see this one doing well, but people seem to like the last
one. I don't see why it's coming out in August either. It's called Halloween. Why not release it closer to Halloween?
Because that's the release date of the last one. It works for them. What is that, a Lionsgate movie?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a Lionsgate movie, and maybe... Oh, you know why?
Look at that.
What?
We
have a swarm of bees outside, Subman. This is breaking news. It's War of the Worlds going on here. But you know why it is because Lionsgate has the Saw movie at Halloween,
and they
can't release them to compete. But I still don't think this will open to anything above $15 million. I would be amazed.
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Looks horrible.
Oh, actually, I have. It's kind of like a teaser of sorts. It's not really full length, is it?
Yeah, it was a full length one.
Well, maybe I haven't seen it.
Well, it's like the teaser slash full length. It's like they got Michael Myers in the hoodie.
Anyway, we have gone almost half an hour today.
Wow.
This is amazing given how much we struggled last time. But anyway, look forward to our Halloween 2 coverage in, 2 months?
And Transformers 2?
Two and a half months. We're going to have a massive Transformers 2 video blog. I'm really shuddering imagining it. Currently, I'm allowing myself something like 12, 14 hours to do it. So it's going to be a massive production. And Reed, who's the DP?
Are you the DP?
No, I'm starring in the thing. You last
the DP?
Last time you said who could not watch a podcast that Michael retrospective
oh, Michael
guy,
Lester
is the DP on.
Oh yeah.
So look out for his fanciful camera work. He thought we were making fun of him last time when
really?
He listened to the podcast, but I swear this is going to be an amazing cinematographic experience.
Off time, does he shoot Coen Brothers movies?
Yes, that's exactly what he does. So anyway, Reed, any last thoughts? Give your Twitter handle out once again so they can contact you.
I'm on Twitter, OCD Avenger. And
you can always Twitter the show at Twitter handle Bucket Reviews, and send us a message at webmaster@bucketreviews.com. And as always, this has been Danny Baldwin for Reed Ackerman from Tim Lee's glorious Subman in Encinitas, California, saying Bucket out.
I get handed down the news. We're on the front line.